The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM's Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin is here. Still to come this hour, JVT on the NBA, our NFL power rankings, and Kelly Bidlin with Ravens gossip. Why does that make you so happy, Kelly? The notion of Ravens gossip.
I don't know. Hey, don't say like it's all me. You were cracking up at this.
I was cracking up at you because you were so excited about it.
It's just like everybody has speculation about the Ravens and what's going on. What's going on with Lamar? What's going on with John Harbaugh? Why was he so angry to Melissa Stark? I don't know. We're going to cover it all in 30 minutes.
Do you think Anthony Brown might come in this game? We'll just see how it goes. he was so angry at her. It's ridiculous. We get tweets at beating. Oh, by the way, Drew, I forgot to mention, because Drew had to, we ran into a commercial, but Drew had an NBA pick. He's on the Clippers tonight, taking the point and a half in their game against the Sixers, or taking a point anyway. I assume he'll just money line it. But he didn't really tell us, did he?
But
he's on the Clippers.
I would assume that as well.
Yeah.
A couple injury notes in that game. John Wall, Luke Kennard both out. John Wall suffering an abdomen injury. He might miss a couple weeks, actually. Paul George, though, I'm assuming this is a big part of Drew's handicap. Looks like Paul George is probably coming back tonight. Did participate in practice yesterday with the team. Does look like he's going to make his return tonight. So against 76ers, should have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard both in the lineup.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Sean Gusick. If it's that hot in the studio, guys, a nice cold glass of eggnog would help cool you boys down. Still waiting for the challenge.
Oh, God.
LOL.
Oh, this would be the worst day to do it.
Titans insider. Gostkowski week one versus the Broncos a few years ago was even worse than Maher. I pronounced it right that time, Kelly. Angriest guy in New Jersey. I loves the salty version of Gil. Being nice is overrated. Real surprising from the angriest guy in New Jersey.
Yeah, right.
The May at Coach May. What a joke. Everyone knows that Tampa Bay at San Francisco would be a pick'em this week. He's right. Like, at some point you wonder, what would that line be? If this keeps crashing on San Francisco and Tampa Bay would have won, oh my God, could you imagine that Michigas on people with Tampa Bay? Oh, it's a pick'em. This is from Jesse Welch. Hey, Gil, can you tell me what the number is on the Bucks to win the NFC and Super Bowl? Can't seem to find it anywhere posted. Weird. So true. Bainbridge DeWeese. Chargers clearly made the right move. Watching that Jags comeback, I kept thinking, this is really the OC and quarterback coach's fault. Listeners are the best. This is from Shine. Shine, the professor, who I don't think I've ever quoted on the show before. Maybe I have before. I'm glad to have a working relationship with Professor Shine these days. He goes, correct on Sean Payton. He says, one Super Bowl in 15 years with Breeze. Lots of guys have won one Super Bowl. Favre doesn't Favre. He has none. Oh, and let's not forget the suspension for paying players to purposely concuss opponents. I hear you, man. Crazy Carl, if you read the tea leaves of Sean Payton, does a mid to late round pick indicate he's going to the Broncos for their 49ers first round pick? Oh, interesting. Could very well be. Kevin Downs. Gil, check the records of Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton. They're almost the same, but people think Payton is a genius. People like that Sean Payton rant I had there on the side.
Wow.
Oh. Jason H11. Once a kicker misses a couple extra points. Excommunicado, he says. Jason Sparty, KY, +3.5, +105 for San Francisco here. And on with the tweets. We'll read some more coming up. We appreciate the feedback, as always. Let's talk some college basketball. Jim Root joins us from Three Man Weave at 3MW_CBB, one of the Three Man Weave crews, along with Kai McKeon and Matty Cox. How you doing, Jim?
I'm wonderful, Gil. I'm very curious about why Harbaugh was so mad, too. So I got to stay tuned in and get the gossip on that.
Kelly's got all the what is it, the tea, the gossip? What do we call it now?
The hot goss.
The 411.
411.
Yeah, that's right.
This is very 90s of me, the 411.
Yeah, I think the hot goss is about very 2016 of me.
Hot goss?
I don't know any better these days, Gil.
There's no telling what Kelly's going to make up. Okay, Jim, let's start with this past weekend. Well, there's a couple things. One, before we get to this past weekend, I always wanted to ask about all the massive upsets that had occurred before Christmas. And I'm not sure if one has happened of this magnitude since. But before Christmas, we had six different games in college basketball where underdogs of 20-plus points won outright. Eastern Illinois is a 31.5-point favorite, beat Iowa. Who could forget that night? North Alabama, 22.5-point dog against Ole Miss. Beat Ole Miss outright. Southeast Louisiana, 22 against Wyoming, one outright. Central Michigan, I remember that one, 21.5 against Michigan, one outright. Northwestern State, 21.5 against TCU outright. Maine, 20.5 against BC. Anyway, first question, what the what? Like, is that just pre-conference shenanigans that we're going to expect year after year? Did you read into that at all?
I think there's a little part of it that is the balancing of the talent via the transfer portal. Some guys are willing to go play at smaller schools because they don't have to sit out a year anymore. There's just like less of a stigma of having to sit a year at Southeastern Louisiana versus play right away. So I think there is some increased parity that maybe increases the chance of those upsets, but it is more just like sleepy favorites. Like the Iowa one makes no sense to me. It will continue to make no sense to me. There's a couple circumstances in there, like TCU was really, really banged up and missing a starter due to suspension. So I maybe because there was so much turnover, especially like that first week of the year, like Northwestern State wouldn't be a 20-point dog anymore, I don't think, in that game. Maybe that gives us some extra weirdness because of the portal and all the roster turnover, but there's still some ones in there. The Central Michigan one, the Eastern Illinois one, that just, I got to just shrug my shoulders. I don't know what's going on there.
All right, now what about this weekend? So this weekend was the old, you know, chaotic Saturday. 11 ranked teams losing on a single day. That ties the AP poll record dating back to January 9th, 2011. That per ESPN stats and information. So 9 of the 11 were on the road, but okay, you had Tennessee losing to Kentucky. Okay. Arizona, number 9 Arizona. By the way, number 5 Tennessee. Number 9 Arizona loses at Oregon. Big by 19. Number 11, Kansas State loses at number 17, TCU. Number 14, Iowa State loses by a bucket to number 2, Kansas. Okay, well, that one's okay. Number 15, Arkansas loses at Vandy. Number 16, Miami loses at NC State. Number 18, Wisconsin at Indiana. Number 19, Providence at Creighton. Number 20, Mizzou. Number 23, San Diego State. Number 24, Duke. Hey, I mean, a lot of those were you know, low-ranked of the ranked teams. I guess Duke is the one that sticks out because I want to get your opinion on John Shire here. But anything to that where 11 ranked teams go down?
I think it was kind of a happy coincidence of a lot of ranked teams were underdogs on the road. Like I think a lot of the last ones you were reading were, you know, teams that were 3 to 5 point underdogs on the road. There is probably more to it of like there's no one great this year. The teams at the top are just not that special. Even number one Houston, the team I've been beating the drum for since the beginning of the year, like, they can be vulnerable at times. They barely beat South Florida because they had one guy out. Like, I think the margins are really, really thin at the top of the rankings, and that leads to some of those additional upsets. You add that to the way the schedule shook out for teams at the bottom of the top 25. And I think we just got kind of a fun chaos day right as football or college football is wrapping up.
What about John Shire? What's the Jim Root opinion here after having seen a couple months?
I'm pretty tepid on Mr. Shire, and a lot of it goes back to the way that the Coach K tree has performed throughout college basketball. Steve Wojciechowski fired at Marquette, Johnny Dawkins fired at Stanford, Tommy Amaker fired at Michigan. Like, these guys haven't really cut it at high major jobs, and I think maybe there was some allure of the unknown going on with Shire. We hadn't seen him do poorly as a coach, so we thought maybe he'd be the exception. And it's just they've really, really struggled. I think there's going to be some issues to work out as he goes through his first year. But credit to somebody like Hubert Davis last year, who had the same question marks replacing a Hall of Famer. He ends up righting the ship, straightening things out, and they go to the national title game. So I'm not going to condemn Shire yet. It's only half a season. They had some preseason injuries to their top freshmen. Both Lively and Whitehead missed a lot of time in the preseason. So they're probably still figuring things out. We'll see if they're able to get things figured out as ACC play continues.
Yeah. Even as you say, Amaker and Dawkins, like the DC in me, the kid from DC who loved that backcourt, two guys from DC at Duke, like, you know, inside of me, it just a little stomach punch as you say that, because you're right about them as coaches. Zach Edey is going to be the player of the year, right? This can't go wrong. I am going to cash this ticket. Yes.
Man, I hope so. I'm sitting on a couple tickets myself. Yeah. It would take, I think, Purdue really floundering in the Big Ten, which does not appear to be likely. And then someone to really come on strong, whether it's Wilson from Kansas or, and I don't even know who else like could actually seize it from him. It feels like a relatively safe bet, obviously reflected in the odds at this point. I think Edey's going to be our player of the year because I just don't see how this production stops at this point.
It's one of those bets where you're like, why didn't I put more on it kind of thing?
exactly. Yes.
All right, what do you like today?
Today I've got a three-pack here I'm going with. I'll start with a side, Creighton, 633 on the betting board. They're laying 7 on the road at Butler. Just really haven't been impressed with Butler this year. Their engagement level kind of waxes and wanes. Their point guard, Eric Hunter, transfer from Purdue, has been really bad against top competition. And then most notably here, Manny Bates, the big man for Butler, missed last game. He's out again, which I think is likely. Creighton's going to dominate the rim. They're one of the best rim teams in the country. I think they go on the road and start to reassert themselves as a top 25 team. We see Creighton get a big W there. One other side for tonight, 658, Wake Forest, laying 3 at home. Clemson is off this big emotional win over Duke. They're undefeated atop the ACC, kind of feeling themselves at this point. I think Wake, a really, really good three-point shooting team, is able to crack that nut and get Clemson, knock them off, getting the first ACC win. We saw them almost do it at Clemson. They were up 7 on the road at Clemson at halftime, kind of fell apart in the second half. And then last one, 626, Western Michigan, Ball State, the under, 146. I think both teams are willing to slow it down. Western Michigan's going to want to. They need to stay competitive here. And Ball State will kind of play with them. I think they'll be willing to play slow. So as long as we get a little defensive regression on the Ball State shooting side, we'll be in good shape there on the under.
Thank you for the rotation numbers as well, Jim. We always appreciate that.
By the way, I try to come prepared.
You were very prepared. By the way, real quick, yes, no. Is Creighton kind of laying in the weeds at this point?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they are.
Yeah,
yep.
I think so, too. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it very much. Jim Root.
Thanks for having me.
At 3MW _CBB. Always a pleasure. It's our pleasure, Jimmy. We'll come back. NFL power rankings on the other side. The remaining 8. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data.
Splitting bets!
Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? Well, the betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Fred Bishop. Gil, you said every year, trust first first intuition, better quarterback and coach. It is really that simple, no? Still Plinko, but more often, right? Have to block out all this nefarious capping info this time yearly as well. Yeah, there's definitely a too cool for school crowd out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish it was that easy, too, though.
It's never easy. NFL if this were tough. Easy, my goodness.
Yeah, we'd all be billionaires.
That's right. The NFL, particularly. Let's see. Scola, instead of referring to the nickname as Salty Gill, let's go with Johnny Vinegar. not really sure what that means, but okay. Let's see here. Trip Tepper. I have a name for your Ravens gossip segment. That's so Raven.
I know he's so right.
Why are we so stupid?
I don't know.
Oh, God.
No, it's that's so Ravens, okay? That's how we get past it.
That's right.
Isaiah is saying the same thing in my ear that Tripp went on to say. Basically that you can't use it. Yeah, I can use it if I turn it into Ravens.
He says shamelessly steal the title from the Raven Simone 2000s teen sitcom.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great idea. Tripps, as usual, is absolutely right. That should have been the name for it.
Of course it should be.
It's coming up in 15 minutes.
When my girl's daughter used to watch That's So Raven, I used to walk by and go, Gracie, that is so Raven. And she was like, oh God,
I'm gonna blame it on you. I was going to make an excuse for that show not really being in anywhere near our age range of possibly watching it
If you have a child people know it. Sure, pass it on to me. Sure.
I can just see you trying to watch a show. Yeah. All innocent, like watching a show and you just walking by thinking it's hilarious to be like,
so Raven.
Because
you know the way they acted on those Disney, I don't even know if it was Disney, but I think it was Nickelodeon shows, whatever it was, they have like a certain way to act. Yeah. It's like its own acting bubble where they overact on everything. Genius program. That is so Raven, crazy. Tom Brady, by the way, says no timetable for the decision after the Bucs were eliminated last night for his decision as to what he wants to do. Someone was throwing out memes of John Cusack holding the the beatbox over his head. That's where he's going up to Giselle's house with that on. Like,
all right, tell me quick. Tom Brady is A, back with the Bucs, B, with the Raiders, C, on another NFL team, or D, retired?
B, on the Raiders.
Kind of think that too.
Because he's not retiring because he doesn't have it in him.
Yeah.
And then the notion of another team, I mean, like, the Niners are good already. They don't want that. Like, Tom Brady's not, he's 45. Like, it's finally happening, right?
Yeah.
Like, age, as we all say, undefeated, it finally happened. There's no shame in it. Literally, like, when George Blanda was playing football at roughly this age in the 70s, he had lamb chop gray sideburns and was smoking cigarettes on the sideline. And now this dude, right, 50 years later, because, like, oh, everybody's into health, he's still the same age. I'd love to see him with gray lamb chop sideburns.
Yeah,
on the
for
sideline.
Real.
But it's come on.
I think the other part of it,
he's
too.
He's not that good, is my point.
I think the other part of it, too, is yeah. This is another one of these where both these statements can be true, right? Yeah. The Bucs are getting old. But it's not exactly Tom Brady. Like, there are some of their offensive pieces look old and slow.
So this is the point. I think Troy Aikman made this last night. Brady is still the GOAT, and so he's still good at football. But he needs to be surrounded by great players.
Absolutely.
And that's the main point about him, right? And by the way, nice job for Troy Aikman, just in case, to say thank you to Tom Brady. I thought that was a nice touch on the broadcast last night. But I think it's the Raiders, because I think Josh McDaniels will say to himself, that's my dude. He gave me all my fame. We got Devontae. He's going to stay. Oh, we got Derek. I mean, the Raiders. I think it's the Raiders.
I think it is, too.
And this story, by the way, and shout, Russell Gage also, we just wanted an update. Because Russell Gage, the closing minutes of that game last night,
that
where
was tough.
It was just going out. And then Russell Gage had this, you know, he just had this horrible non-contact injury. Turns out they took him to the hospital, Todd Bowles said. Right now he's a concussion. They're also testing him for potential neck injuries. I thought it was the legs the whole time.
At first it looked like both. It looked like his knee kind of went, and then he got hit around the neck area.
So hope he's okay.
So that's what they're checking out. The latest I had seen on him. Well, let me get back to you on that.
Well, by the way, Kelly also talking about the Chargers firings this morning. Not Brandon Staley, but everybody else, as it turns out. Browns hiring Jim Schwartz as their defensive coordinator. You remember Jim Schwartz, former head coach of the Detroit Lions. And this story, before we get to our NFL power rankings, this story has nothing to do with betting. But I saw this yesterday, and I immediately texted you. Did you see this story?
Not until you texted.
What's that?
No, I didn't see it until he texted me about it.
Robin Lehner, the goaltender for the Vegas Golden Knights, and his wife have filed for bankruptcy in the state of Nevada, citing up to $50 million in debts to dozens of creditors. And as you seized on, which is exactly what I seized on, one of the details in this, and by the way, like, you feel terrible for a guy like that.
Yeah.
But one of the details that...
I mean, sort of. When you read the details, of, like, he's buying exotic snakes for his snake farm Wyoming or whatever.
You spoiled my moment.
Oh, sorry.
But yes, he missed payments for a collection of rare snakes he purchased for $1.2 million in 2017. Because, Kelly, who amongst us hasn't done that?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
He keeps the snakes, by the way, at his reptile farm in Plato, Missouri.
Who doesn't have one of those in Missouri?
I got me a reptile farm.
I just love the image of him standing in a bank, right? And it's, hey, you owe X amount of money. It's like, well, I'm a professional sports player, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you play hockey, so you can't afford it. Like, Bradley Beal would be like, give me a year and a half and I got you back.
It is amazing. Bradley Beal's like, I'll be all right.
Like any baseball player, NFL player.
Yeah,
right?
It's like when Billy Joel or any Tony Braxton, whatever these musical artists got, you know, go bankrupt. It's like, just go out on tour. You'll be fine.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
But yeah. Oh, man.
Like, Leonard, you'll have to play for 15 more years, and then you'll be good.
Who amongst us doesn't have a reptile farm? NFL Power Rankings, ladies and gentlemen. Plug it in.
A little different this week, Gil.
I guess I sort of surprised him with that. Usually it happens right after I say it. Why is it different?
Oh, we're power ranking the remaining teams in the playoffs.
That's right.
Last week was our end of season. Right.
If we had our
power rankings,
if we had our guests, some of our guests on, the Bucks would be power ranked like fourth. So this is probably going to be of no surprise. I wonder the difference we'll have, but I already had moved the Bills to five, so I feel very comfortable keeping them there. But here it is: 8 Giants, the most fraudulent of the group; 7 Jaguars, also the Jaguars. By the way, Emerson Lazia, that interview last week, Kelly. I'm referring to that as the incident. That's going to be the incident.
He's pumped, man. He's going to the game.
6, the Cowboys. The Cowboys are so clearly the 6th best team in football, I believe.
I agree.
Can't crack the top 5, certainly not 7th or worst. They are 6. Bills, I remain, I keep the Bills at 5. I am in the camp that just says the Bills have not been good for a long time now. I know they win football games. Yes. I'm not saying they're not a good football team. They are. But they're not the best anymore, at least the way they've been playing for a large swath of this season. I got the Eagles at 4. I got the Bengals at 3. I get it with the offensive linemen, but I still think Joe Burrow and that offense makes them 3. I got the Niners 2, and I got the Chiefs 1, and I fully expect the Chiefs and Niners to be in the Super Bowl. You, sir.
Yeah, I will. I had to take a little while to think of these this morning, Gil. Yeah, because this was last week we did start to see the separation of kind of where you had San Francisco and Buffalo versus where I had those teams. I chose to try not to read too much into these, both the performances by the Bills and Bengals, because I'm going to stick to, I still think there are 3 AFC teams better than anybody in the NFC. So I stuck with Chiefs, Bills, then Bengals. And yes, I am on the Bengals this week. I think those are razor-thin margins between 1 through 4, honestly. 49ers, I can't remember if this is my first week having them above the Eagles. I think it might be, or it was last week. Did move them above the Eagles, though. I do think they're the team to beat in the NFC, but I think it is. I don't want to overlook the Eagles yet. We haven't seen them play in the playoffs. Jalen Hurts obviously been hurt for a little while here. I think you're going to see him more healthy this week than we have in a while. Still think they got a chance. And like you said, Cowboys, you got to put 6. And then it's Jags Giants at the end, right? Jags 7, Giants 8.
I think it's so hard to argue. We were different on 2, 4, and 5.
Yes.
2, 4, and 5 we switched around. You have Bills,
Bills
Bengals,
2,
Eagles.
You have Bills 5, right?
Yeah, you have Bills 2, 49ers 4, Eagles 5. I have 49ers 2.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. It is limited time. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Kelly, usually at different points during the show, will bounce out and use the ladies' room. Today you were bouncing out. You're like, I'm not going. I just need some air.
Yeah, it's like popping in the sauna, but the opposite.
I'm gonna go steam bath in here.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like popping out of the steam bath because you need a breather. So we had some conversations where you were in your seat and I was outside in the casino, just like standing there. Like, I need this AC, man.
How much are you gonna need for the Ravens hot goss here? How much time do you think you'll need?
Oh, just a couple minutes.
Okay.
All right. We want to start with it?
I was going to lead up to it. People are much more interested in that than my Australian Open thoughts here. So we'll lead up to it.
What you got in the Aussie?
So again, the matches were suspended last night because of extreme heat. So they could only play the ones in the arenas. And so the two picks I had, like I said, both ongoing. Like I said, the plus 185 was on its way. And then I can't prove that it would have gotten there, but it stopped and everything turned. And so now I'm against it. I was up 6-1, 3-3. Danka Kovinic was, and now it's one set apiece, and she's down 4-1 in the last set. So it's not looking good.
Did I see extreme heat and rain?
I didn't see the rain part. Okay, but you might have. I might have.
Thought I saw a tweet about both. I was like, wow, that's random.
Yeah, the weather in Melbourne, they'll say, is like 4 seasons in one day. It's kind of like San Francisco-ish at times. And Richard Gasquet just barely started. I will have, because of all that, I was looking at the handicapping last night. I don't know exactly what my picks are. For those who ask on Twitter, I will have them. It's going to be three picks today. I will tell you that one of them is going to be taking Emma Raducanu plus the games against Coco Gauff. So Emma Raducanu plus 4.5 games against Coco Gauff will be one of my plays. And I have two isolated on the men's side. To Drew's point, it really is slim pickings today. There's a lot of chalkiness, and there is not a lot of underdog value anywhere. But a couple picks on the men's side, and Raducanu plus 4.5 coming up. By the way, J-Rod, who's one of our loyal listeners, and I met him at Bet Bash, he loves betting tennis, too. He's betting a whole bunch of stuff. And he said he went through, like, 12 different tennis experts or podcasts or people who had opinions, whatever it was. They said, me and Dan Weston were the only two people, and I had no idea Weston was on this. Weston had no idea that I was on this. The only two people that were still betting Iga. And
really?
It's incredible to me that because it became, you know, because her numbers have dropped all the way, and you have to make that point, right? The 7-to-1s and the 30-to-1s and even the plus 450s, like those days are over. You might see 4-to-1 on grass, right, for Wimbledon. But as far as hard courts and clay, you're never seeing those numbers ever again. And so the fact that she was like plus 220-ish, which is where I bet the number four different times, you know, I'm like, hey, she's still the best player in the world. I get it. The other ladies are swirling. But she's still the best player in the world. And plus 220, I played it. When it dropped below, because she lost to Pegula at the United Cup, I believe that's what it's called, the United Cup. And I didn't bet it there, but it's like even that was like a bit of a weird, like, okay, I get it. Like she can lose. It's like when she had the 37-match win streak, and then it got snapped, and then someone else on this network was like, I told you, Gil, you're dumb. I'm like, okay.
So where do you think the other sharp action is at in this tournament?
I think it's spread around. I think Aryna Sabalenka got it. I think Jessie Pegula got some. I think Belinda Bencic got some. But I just found that fascinating. Only me and Dan Weston are still in the Iga camp.
Yeah, no, it is.
I was like, trust me, I'll take Iga. Y'all can have the field. I'll do all right still doing that.
That is fascinating.
Ladies and gentlemen. So, by the way, again, if you want those picks, ask me on Twitter, and I'll be happy to tweet them. I do it every day. One of them will be Raducanu plus 4.5 games against Coco.
Quick notes here before we move on. Gil, I'm seeing this line start to move in favor of the Clippers. I haven't seen anything official on Paul George yet, but I'm guessing that is more and more people buying into that side tonight as well with Drew, and that Paul George is going to play. That is Clippers 1, 1.5, pretty much everywhere now, it looks like. I do have one bet in the NBA tonight.
Yes.
Did lay the points with the Nets on the road. That looks like the squarest and blockiest of all plays ever. But that is the Nets. Really, this is a spot play more for me, Gil. They have not looked great these past couple games without Kevin Durant, losing two at home, including one against the Thunder. I think the only thing to don't let it overshadow you that the Thunder have been playing pretty well recently, one of the best ATS teams in the league. Nets, this is the ultimate get-right spot. Go to San Antonio. That has been the ultimate get-right team opponent all season long for any team struggling. We've seen it earlier in the season with other teams, and it's a spot I've taken advantage of a couple times with teams coming off of losses playing the Spurs. So I laid 5. It's up to 5.5 now. I'd assume this number is going to run a little bit more. 5.5, I'd probably still lay. We wouldn't go too much more. This is a smaller play for me tonight, but look for Kyrie and the guys to get right there in San Antonio.
We got tweets. Shine, the professor, also talking about the San Francisco 49ers lines. South Point right behind us here, Kelly, where they have $20,000 limits here. -4 now to -4, -108 on the Niners. -4, -108. And a couple of the big offshore
They're 3.5 now.
3.5 now? Okay.
And South Point's always -110.
Always -110. Oh, it says, okay, -110. You're right. They never go off -110. And then a couple of the big offshore pillars at -4, -108, and -3.5, -109.
Did see a couple, though. There are a couple shops that pinged back to 4. Caesars William Hill here in town moved back to 4.
Yeah.
They were at 3.5.
And we get texts, Lou Finicaro talking about the Brady versus Blanda comparison. He says, yeah,
Lou!
But Gil, Brady can't kick 45-yard field goals. True. And then Chris Velika, and I want to make this point. I'm glad he reminded me of this. The goalpost will move on the Brock Purdy thing. You know how people can't admit when they're wrong about stuff? Like, so if Brock Purdy, if it happens in the Super Bowl, it'll just move the goalpost. See, I told you it happened.
Right, right.
Right? But he says every week it's going to be something new with Purdy. First start, first road start, first opponent with a real defense, first playoff game. Next week it'll be first road playoff game. People are going to keep banging a new first every week until they're right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's 100% right. You ready to do this?
Yeah, I'm ready to do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ravens hot goss. Otherwise known as That's So Ravens.
That's So Ravens.
With Kelly Bidlin.
All right, I'm going to rapid fire through these, Gil. Okay. Yes. And this is, again, as Gil explained it earlier, this is based from, we've heard a lot of things going on with Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, the Ravens. What's going on there, right? So we're going to go with some fake headlines, fake news headlines. Okay. Nobody read into any of these. Lamar Jackson, we haven't seen him on the field, Gil. He's finally had it with the team for not getting him a true number one wide receiver. He's demanding they bring back Anquan Boldin.
Is he?
They haven't met his demands.
Who knew that this was what it was all of? That's why he's mad.
Yeah, that's right. That's why he's mad. All right, next up, you're going to tell me which one you like best after all these. I've got six of them. Lamar Jackson's going to step away from football to focus on his music career. I don't even know if he plays music of any kind, but yeah, I've got that one.
Plays music.
All right, next up. The Harbaugh brothers are just going to switch jobs. They've both gotten sick of where they're at. John's sick of dealing with Lamar, the Ravens. Jim's sick of Michigan, even though he just resigned there. I maybe made this yesterday before he took the job. The Harbaugh brothers are just going to switch jobs, Gil. They're just going to switch jobs. It's become too much for both of them.
Who do you think would do better?
I believe Jim would do better in the NFL than John would in college.
You might be right.
I think that one.
We've already seen it. That's why, yeah.
Okay, Melissa Stark stole John Harbaugh's parking spot 3 years ago, and he's still not very happy about it. that one could be very true.
Once again, the exchange from this weekend. When might you start thinking about putting Anthony Brown in, would you? We'll just see how the game goes.
It was so awkward. It was so awkward. Some of you might have seen Michael Vick weighing in on what Lamar Jackson should have done. So let's fire up that gossip engine. Ravens are in talks with Mike Vick about making a comeback. Ship away Lamar Jackson. Bring back Mike Vick. That's what's going to happen. All right. And then lastly, Lamar Jackson, he just can't quit his rollerblading obsession, Gil, leading to an additional injury while he was out rehabbing. That's what's going on in Baltimore.
Wow. You really put your passion into that. You know, we should have had a wacky Brady Bunch-like music bed for that. That would have made it better.
I kept going back and forth on what music to use, yeah. So that all of it seemed inappropriate.
I thought you were going to go like Anthony Brown, Melissa Stark, John Harbaugh love triangle. Like, I thought you were really going to sink into it. Ravens hot goss with Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen.
We don't know. That was maybe a one-time only thing, but there might be more drama through the offseason. We're going to have to play up.
Those graphics look great. You guys really put your heart into it.
Michelle does great work.
Shout out to Michelle downstairs. Shout out to everybody for getting that Megapod audio up just in time, too. Doing a great job.
It's so hot in here.
It is.
It's so hot.
It's really. We are melting. Ladies and gentlemen, one more melted segment for us with JVT on the NBA on the other side. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM and King of Sportsbooks unleashing the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets. It's never been easier to join the action on the new BetMGM app, featuring a fresh redesign with improved features and quicker navigation. And if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM resorts located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards, sports betting's premier loyalty program, including exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager with BetMGM. Sign up with BetMGM or log in today to take advantage of BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Kelly, do you, I got my voice pinned at like 91%, and I can't get that last part out.
I feel like mine's exactly like that, too.
Can't get that last
Isaiah part out. Yelled at me during a break yesterday to take a sip of water because I was hurting. I'm with you. It's like it's rebounded 91-92%.
Isaiah Von Wrinkel runs this ship with an iron fist.
Yeah, he does. He's on top of things, man.
By the way, that's SHIP is what I just said. Rich Copro. Gil, I'm a Ravens fan, so, oh, wait, my boa constrictor got out of its cage. I'll get back to you. Oh, we shouldn't joke. Trip Tepper. I loved Kelly's idea to dodge copyright issues by simply changing it to That's So Ravens.
I told him that's basically my career in a nutshell.
Oh, man. All right, on and on with the tweets. We appreciate all the feedback, as always. John Fitzgibbons, all these people calling for Brett Maher's job. What if he has a reptile farm to keep up? Everybody's making the reptile farm jokes. Ladies and gentlemen, he is our senior NBA analyst. He's also the host of the podcast Hardwood Handicappers. And occasionally, he lets Kelly co-host with him. It's Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. How you doing, JVT?
I'm good. Rumor on the street is it's going to be Kelly's podcast pretty soon. I'll be the guest.
Whoa.
Wow. No, he doesn't mean
hot
that.
Hot gosh.
He doesn't mean that. He's just playing. JVT, never too early to talk NBA trade deadline, which is about 3 weeks away. What can we expect? Are teams going to punt figuratively on the season?
I don't think so, right? Like we that's what this new play-in has kind of presented to us. There's these five teams that have been pretty bad that we know about, right? Detroit, Charlotte, San Antonio, Houston, right, among them. So, like, those are going to be the teams that you expect to be pretty bad and, you know, continue to do what they're doing. And some of them, like Detroit, have some injuries. They're going to allow them to do that without really any effort. But, Gil, if you don't, you kind of look around at the landscape of the NBA, a lot of people complained about the play-in, but the play-in has quietly had the effect that the NBA has wanted it to, which is there are a lot of teams that are still kind of going for those 10 seeds. That are trying to get some meaningful basketball. And like, take, for example, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Actually, on the last podcast Kelly was on, I spent a couple minutes trying to convince him. DraftKings has a market, teams to participate in the respective conferences play-in, so East and West. The Thunder are 10-1 to participate in the West play-in. They're about a half game out of the 10th seed in the Western Conference. They've been playing very good basketball. I think they've won, 4-5 or something like that, 5 out of 6. And they have such a massive treasure trove of assets that you could chip off something cheap, get a center that you need and somebody else to help you out, and get a young team some meaningful reps in a playoff type scenario and still be fine with a first round pick with all the assets you have. So I don't think that's going to be the case. You know, these teams that are at the bottom, they'll continue to push for maybe a top bottom seed, but I don't think teams like Oklahoma City and others are really going to be selling off to try to get in there.
JVT with a great call on that one, Gil. That number has moved to +270 now.
Yep.
+270.
These are the things you get on Hardwood Handicappers.
And without Chet Holmgren, it should be pointed out as well, right?
Without Chet Holmgren.
Oh. All right, let's talk about your early reviews on the Durant-less Nets.
Bad offense, decent defense, and games are going under the total. It's a really simple thing, but that's what we've seen so far. Through the first two games, so without Kevin Durant, offense a rating of 105.4 in non-garbage time. Defense has been perfectly solid, right? Average, I think the defensive rating in non-garbage time is about 113, if I remember correctly. And that's what you've seen, right? The last two games have gone under the total for them. And I think that's kind of what you're going to expect. I bet each of those two games under the total because you figure that this defense was going to maintain like a level of averageness. They're a pretty solid defensive team. And that's going to continue to happen. And we've seen also, Gil, the last two games. Look, Kyrie Irving obviously has a massive shot share now for him, but he has shot very inefficiently. So unless that's going to start to tick up here, then I think you're going to continue to see that. And sure enough, here today, I think some spots open overnight, 235.5 or down to 232 for this matchup between Brooklyn and San Antonio. So you're starting to see the market adjust to that. San Antonio has not been playing very well defensively in their own right over the last few games. I think it's over the last 7, if I remember correctly. I wrote about this today. Defensive rating of over 124. So maybe this is a game in which they get right, but I think that's kind of what you're going to see from Brooklyn, a decent team defensively, a team that struggles to create offense outside of Kyrie Irving, and some games until the market really adjusts on these like 230s that they're hanging up with this squad that are going to go under the total without Kevin Durant.
Is my Jordan Poole sixth man of the year ticket going to lose because he won't be sixth? He won't come off the bench enough, ultimately.
I don't think so. I think you'd be pretty safe there, right? Because
I think
I was
so
listening.
Too. Yeah.
Right. And I think the minimum is actually just like, you know, if you play, I told you, we were talking about this the other day on the podcast too. You know, if you play an 82 games, Gil, you only got to play like a 42 off the bench. You just need to play more games off the bench than you start and you're perfectly fine. Like, for example, I've got a Chris Wood at 100-1 ticket and I'm just banking on Maxi Kleba coming back, taking the starting center role back and the second leading scorer for the Dallas Mavericks is going to be pretty live for a six man of the year award. So no, I think you're fine, especially because their bench kind of stinks, right? Like they need that guy off of the bench. Totally. So I think you'll be perfectly fine.
A couple people were asking me about that yesterday. I wanted to ask you. I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be the difference. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right. I'm a human being who has been paying attention to football and I'm just landing on the NBA. You were very surprised by the human being part. And I'm just landing on the NBA now. And I look up at the standings. I'm like, okay, well, the East looks familiar to me. I see all the usual suspects there. I get it. But this West, my God, what is this? Denver and Memphis at the top. So it's a different pecking order. That person wants to make a futures wager in the Western Conference, specifically the West. What do you tell them at this point based on the numbers?
Well, I will eliminate my bias because part of me is still like a very small part of me holds on to the Clippers being healthy and all the returns, right? You know, the net rating with Kawhi Leonard and Paul George together, blah, blah, blah. But that consistency hasn't been there. So that would be on the list for me, but I can understand not wanting to buy, like have anybody buy into that. I would say, look, you're buying at a market high, but like out of every other team in the Western Conference, the reason the West looks this way is because it's, I don't think that good. And so I think you are looking at like a Denver Nuggets, for example, to invest in at this point. Gil, over the last 19 games, they're 16-3. They have covered 13 of those games. But the big difference over those games has been that they're playing defense. All of a sudden, over the course of these 19 games that they've been on, right, they've been on this massive winning streak. They are the 10th best or like 9th best team in non-garbage time defensive rating. That's a massive change. And if that's legitimate, right, if they're going to legitimately defend teams and play very well, and they're getting a little lucky with three-point shooting, opponents are only shooting 34% from three, and that's going to regress. But if they're going to be like an above-average defensive team, they are arguably the best offensive team in the NBA. They arguably have the best home court in the NBA. I think Denver, if we're talking about just the West and how weak it has looked, it does look top heavy for a reason. And I think Denver would be the team I'd rather invest in at this point right now.
Yeah, it's just saying the Western Conference, not that good, is just sort of a startling statement after the state of the NBA over these last, at least in recent history.
Yep.
All right, what do you like today?
So I haven't bet anything yet. I'm going to wait. So I got yesterday. I love the NBA. Trust me, I do. But yesterday was one of those days where you get burned on something, and I'm like, all right, this puts a bad taste in my mouth. Giannis Antetokounmpo listed as probable yesterday morning, and then 3 hours after I make a bet, he is ruled out. So I absolutely love the league. And that was, I bet a Pacers team total under 111.5, and I feel like if Giannis was out there, I probably could have gotten there. Regardless, I'm going to wait to see if Paul George is going to be active tonight. I think this Clippers team, again, if we get Paul George and Kawhi Leonard together, a net rating when they're on the floor together of nearly +9, which is very elite, a defensive rating of just about 106, these numbers and these returns when these two dudes play together are very good. You just need them on the floor. So if they're going to play together and a little bit of a revenge spot, they went to Philly about 3 weeks ago. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, had a 20-point lead over the 76ers and blew it right after Christmas or right before Christmas. I think that this is, if they're fully healthy, and I'm going to confirm this, then I think the Clippers at -1.5 or better are going to be a play for me tonight.
Drew and JVT simpatico on that one. All right. JVT, appreciate it very much. Enjoy, and let's hope for some trade deadline drama.
Oh, that'd be great. I can't wait.
At me, JVT, for Jonathan Montoble. Again, Hardwood Handicappers, available where all podcasts are distributed. You do that once a week, Kelly?
Yeah, I do it once a week, usually the later week edition that will come out on Friday mornings.
So you're going to be like a professional multi-podcaster pretty soon, huh?
Sounds like it. We'll see.
All right, a little NBA, a little golf maybe.
Yeah.
All right. Pro tip for the hour. Kelly, what'd you put together here? Oh, very nice. Be careful with betting Australian Open matches today. Make sure you know if you're betting on a match that was suspended yesterday or if it's a match that hasn't started yet. Yes, that would be key. If you look up, you're like, wow, this seems to be a great price on this player.
Right, yeah.
Only to find out that this player is up two sets or something like that, or down two sets if you find value. Just know that it hasn't started yet in some cases and that some of these matches, a lot of these matches, are midstream. One every hour, at least 20 a day at VSiN. Available for only VSiN Pro subscribers, though. All searchable at VSiN.com. We've done all we can do. The Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.